I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I am excited, as always, to teach my lesson today. And I want you to go with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. I want to hop right into it. We're in a mini-series entitled It's Possible. Everybody say, It's Possible. And so we've talked about what you're it, and we've kind of given you a couple faith-building lessons to go along the way. Today, I want to really slow down and take my time and talk about a component that you need working in your life if your faith is going to work. So today, I want to talk to you about the love factor. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the love factor. Galatians 5 and 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." If you're in the KJV, it says, "But faith which worketh by love." And so the Bible teaches us that faith works by love. So I submit to you that if I'm not flowing in love the way I should, it doesn't matter how much I'm believing for a thing, it's not going to come to pass in my life. You got it? And so love is the only way to get your faith to work. Love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. All right? Everybody say, love is the motivator. Faith is the activator. So what am I saying? Everything I do must be motivated by love. Everything I do must be motivated by love. How many know that we live in a day and time in a culture where it almost seems like everybody's at everybody's throats? Has anybody noticed that besides me? If you look at TV, if you look at social media, if you just look at the way people act, and how many know that that is just not of God? Does that make sense? And so we become so critical that we forgot about sharing the love of Christ and being that example of Christ so somebody else can see who Jesus really is. You got it. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen, but I bought my own amens, so it's okay. No, because, you know, everybody is entitled to their own opinions. You got it? And I don't have any problem with that. See, this is not a, you know, if you've learned anything about Pastor long enough, you've learned that I don't get caught up in the hoopla of what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? I don't get, you know, how you feel about this, and I don't feel any way about any way. I feel like I need to do a good job of teaching the word of God on a Sunday morning so you can apply it in your life, so you can live a better life. You got it? So this lesson has nothing to do with should you wear Nike or you shouldn't wear Nike. It has nothing to do where if it's Republican versus Democrat. Has nothing to do, you got, no, because in these days and time, you got Republicans fighting Republicans and Democrats fighting. So this has nothing to do with any of those things. This has everything to do with us coming back to the basics and understanding that God loves everybody, even the people you don't like. Do me a favor, just look down your row, just to kind of check the few people out down your row. Just check the people out. Now, look back up at me. You check those people out, you got it. Whether you realize it or not, you all probably have some differences. Whether you realize it or not, there might be some things that you all don't agree exactly on, and you've got to know that that's okay. You got it. The most important thing we all need to agree on is that God sent his son Jesus to die for us, that I need him in my life so I can live an incredible life and make it to heaven and watch it and take as many people with me as I can. But watch this. Being an example of Jesus has not so much to do with me being able to quote a lot of scripture, but you being able to see the life that I live. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so everyone absolutely is entitled to their own opinion, but what we're not entitled to is not to walk in love. You got it? And so you got to understand, we are always going to have differences. You know, in all my married couples in the house, y'all know that y'all have differences? You got it? So what we have to do is we have to agree to disagree, you got it, and love each other in spite of our differences. All right. 1 John 4, the 7th chapter. I learned this when I was a little kid in camp. And, the Bible is real clear if you just read it. You got it? If you just read it for what it says, not say, well, I think what God meant was. No. If you just read it, It'll come alive in your heart. Beloved, talking about you, you got it. Let us love who? One another, all right? For love is of God. And everyone, watch this, that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But watch verse 8. Verse 8 is real particular. He that loveth not, no, does the Bible say that? So the Bible says that he that loveth not, he really don't know God. Why? Because God is love. You got it? And I'm here to tell you, God loves everybody. Does that make sense? See, we in life have categorized ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? By this class of people, or this race of people, or this political divide. But God has not done that. You got it? So the Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." For God is love. So if Pastor here today can give you any advice, the best advice I could give you today is just be the best Christian you can be. And that is, watch this, when I learned how to be the best Christian I can be and walk this word out, then I will, watch this, I will get a better perspective on things. My wife and I were talking, and I think that is why it's so important that husband and wives help each other along the way. Somebody had said some things, and, you know, of course, I wasn't really that moved by it, but I was like, well, that's messed up, you know, and that kind of thing, and I just kind of went on, and then my wife was like, well, babe, you know, maybe the thing is they just don't really know better. Like, you know, it wasn't right what they said, but she said, maybe they just really don't know better. But that helped me, you understand what I'm saying? It helped me to just be okay. It helped me not to have ill feelings towards somebody. It just helped me to stay balanced and say, you know what, that's right. And I had to remember that even though, you know, they said what they said, God still loved them and paid an incredible price for them just like he did for me. And when we can learn, doesn't mean that I agree with what they did. Doesn't mean that I agree with what they said, but I understand that, watch this, when I look back over my life, I've not always said the right thing. I've not always done the right thing, and God loved me, and God forgave me. So who am I not to, watch this, share the same love that God shared with me? Does that make sense? Right. And so I've got to understand. So there's two points that I want to share with you. It's going to be a real simple lesson. And my whole goal is just for you to get clarity on the fact that, hey, I got to make sure that I have the right perspective and that I'm walking in love. Doesn't mean I accept everything. Doesn't mean I agree with everything, but I got to walk in love. Right? Yeah. So I walked in here this morning with my Dallas gear on. You understand what I'm saying? And some of the brothers didn't want to hug me because I had my Dallas gear on. Well, the Bible says you have to hug me anyways. You might not agree with me being a Dallas fan, but you got to love me. All right, John 3:16. All right, first point, point number one. Everybody say point number one. Love gives. Love gives. That's point number one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what, class? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his son into the world to condemn the world, for God sent not his son into the world. I was like, I know I'm not reading that right. I do know the word. For God sent not, there you go, his son, very important part, into the world to condemn the world, but watch this, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. The world was already messed up. So I didn't, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to spew out hate. I didn't come, you know, to go crazy on folk. Folk already crazy. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and that is, I try to walk lightly when I say things like this, but that's why I never understood the whole, I get it, there's different preaching styles. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. I like to add some humor to my lessons, but I give you good substance. I give you the Word of God. I could never understand the preaching style where we fuss all the time. You understand? And the reason I could never understand that is because the gospel is not bad news, but the gospel is good news that he's come to remove your burdens and destroy your yokes by the power of God. Does that make sense? You got it. And so, you know, because somebody, people always, you know, think that they know how to help me teach better than I know how to teach, and you got it. And so, you know, they inboxed me and told me that, you know, I'm doing okay. You understand what I'm saying? But I need to preach harder on sin. You got it? And I need to do, and that ain't no problem. That don't bother me. I'm a big boy. I got my big boy pants on. You got it? So it's all good, you know, but I don't believe in fussing at people because can I be honest with you? If you're in here today and you're in sin, you already know. Am I right about it? If you don't need me to tell you you're in sin. You need me to tell you that there is a God that loves you, that wants to help you get free from your sin. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth, that word commendeth just means prove, that he proved his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were in a bad state, God didn't try to wait for us to get it together because he knew, no, that's, you know, for them, that's not going to be humanly possible. With God, all things are possible. He understood back then, no, that's not going to work. So he commended or he proved his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now watch Ephesians, the second chapter in the first verse. They'll put it up on the screen. I love this. It says, as for you, because how many know, sometimes we have to remember where we came from. You know what I mean? How many besides me realize I wasn't always perfect? You got it. Didn't always have it together. Still really don't have it all together. Yeah, I'm just doing better than I was. You understand what I'm saying? And when we begin to really understand that, you won't look down on people. You got it, with spiritual eyeglasses, like I'm better than you, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm living better than you. How do we really know? Just because nobody found out, praise the Lord. Because, I mean, everybody's got issues. I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. And sometimes it's just not even that you fell into a deep sin, but maybe you just mean. Yeah. And if I'm mean, I can't be a good example of who Christ is, because Christ is not mean. And if he says that I'm supposed to be a city that's set on a hill, that I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth, you got it? If I'm supposed to be all those things and I show up to you and you're not saved, how in the world am I going to draw you to Christ, you got it? Because I'm upset because I think you should use my coupon because it's only 2 days past due. And the last lady used my coupon that was 2 days past due. That's what make me sick around here. I'm going down to the other Harris Teeter. I don't like this Harris Teeter no more. And then that person gets a postcard of Without Limits Christian Center. So they decide, I think I'm going to go to that church. Because now that man and woman on that card, they look like they love Jesus. And when they come in, you're the first person that they see. Good morning. God bless you. How you doing? Welcome to Without Limits. They're like, are you not the same one that almost cussed me out over a 50 cent off coupon? So we should never forget where we came from. Does that make sense? You know, one of the things about me that I love, of course, we all like people to give us compliments, and that's good, and that's. But one of the things for me is people that have known me 15 and 20 years ago, whenever they see me or they come to me, and I might not have seen them for a while, but they follow me on Facebook or just whatever, they say, you know what? You know, they always used to call me Pastor Mac. That was just like my, you know, they're like, Pastor Mac, you never, ever changed. And to me, that is so vitally important that no matter how good you do in life, that you just be the same person that you were. You got it? Because watch this. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. So you are not who you are because you got a new car or because you got a new house or because you got a little bit of money. You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. That's what makes you who you are. That's why you're valuable. See, everybody in this room has an incredible level of value, but it's not based on what you know, because think about it. By the time y'all get here, I'm already here. So I got here at 8. You got it? So I don't know what you drive. That don't bother me. I mean, I speak the blessings of God on all of your lives. You know that. But I'm saying that has nothing to do with it for me. The reason why my wife and I love you the way we love you is because we understand that you are God's most valuable prized possession because he paid an incredible price by giving his son Jesus. Does that make sense? So Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. All right. Now look at your second choice. You know you have one. You already checked them out. You already checked it out. As a matter of fact, don't even mess with them this time. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. So the Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. He says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You got it? And so we understand, you know, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he said, yeah, you got it together kind of now, but there was a time where you didn't have it together. You understand? So thank God that you're doing good. And watch this now. The spirit of the air, the demonic forces, they don't have control of you anymore. He says, but they do have control over those that are disobedient. He said, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. I just got to smoke that weed because that weed's going to get me where I need to go to let me be stress-free. All right. I was about to say, can I get an amen? But I was like, that's not a good place to ask for an amen. And some of y'all are like, Pastor must have really loved that weed. I have never smoked weed in my life. But y'all are like, you were just like serious about that. And following its desires, not only its desires, but what? Its thoughts. And that's what you have to understand. A lot of times, watch this. A lot of people, how many know that people just don't end up in sin? You got, like, if you're married, you got it. You just don't end up in the bed with another man or another woman. You didn't just, like, wake up that morning, and by, like, 11, you know, o'clock in the afternoon, you're like, oh, man, how in the world did that happen? The devil made me do it. No, it doesn't work like that. There's signs along the way, and there's thoughts along the way, and that's why you have to learn to deal with the signs and the thoughts along the way. You got it? Just look at somebody and say, this young man is teaching up in here this morning. Just in case you didn't know, this young man is teaching up in here this morning. He says, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, of the judgment of God. But because of his great love for us, Jesus, I love this, God, who is rich, the Bible said he is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Everybody say why? Why? In order that in the coming ages he might show you the incomparable riches of his grace. So he's not just rich in mercy, he's also rich in grace. Expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because how many know he didn't have to send his son Jesus? You know, because like if we had to leave the whole universe being saved up to you and you sending your son or daughter, I don't know. Verse 8, you got to get this. You got to get this. Verse 8, for it is by
grace.
Let's try it again. For it is by
grace.
It is by grace you have been saved through
grace.
So it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. Oh, this next part. This next part says, and this is not from yourselves. The KJV says it is not of yourselves. In other words, watch this. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can do what? So it's not by works. So watch this. So we praise the Lord that you have kind of made it. We praise the Lord that you are where you are and you're not where you used to be. But if you ever for a moment think that it is because of you and of your good works and you're such a great person, then you got to take a step back, because you got to understand we all were in a bad place. And Paul said in times past, you got it. And if it had not been for him being rich in mercy and him being rich in grace and him being rich in love, watch this, we all would have had to suffer the wrath that was to come. But thanks be unto God, Jesus. See, when you start learning this kind of stuff I'm teaching, you watch this, you begin to take off your critical eyeglasses. No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, because what happens is, I get it. There ain't nobody better than me. No. You got it. You know, y'all did get that the right way, right? I guess you could say that two ways, right? Because when we were going to Jackie and Joy, my niece's softball, their games and stuff, when they were younger, they had a coach, and every time they'd get up the bat, he'd say, nobody better. Nobody better. In other words, it's on you. You got it. Ain't nobody better than you at that moment. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is nobody. Watch this. Does that make sense? You got it. So in other words, watch this. There are no big I's or no little U's in the kingdom of God. So what's God saying? He's saying, don't get it twisted. The salvation, the freedom, the forgiveness wasn't because of your goodness, but it was because of his goodness. So I submit to you that God, now don't shout me down before I finish my whole sentence, but God is not just our greatest example of love, he is love. And that's the difference. Because some people say, he's the greatest example of, and I get that, but he's not just the greatest example of love, he is love. That is why he's never changed his mind about you. That's why he's never backed up from you. That's why when you dug holes and kept on digging, he said, you just being stubborn right now, but I'm just going to be right here because you're going to come to yourself at some point. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you to the end. All right, Ephesians 3 and 17. They'll put it up on the screen. Y'all getting blessed? All right. Ephesians 3 and 17, I'm going to go through this one pretty quickly. I don't have a lot of any subpoints under this, but I just wanted you to see this because since I'm teaching on this, I want to give good proof text. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home where? In your hearts. And that's where he wants to be. You got it? He wants to be in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love, and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself, because it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. The love of Christ, which far passes mere knowledge without experience. So you can't try to fathom or understand this. He says that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become boldly holy, filled and flooded with God himself. If you become boldly, holy, filled and flooded with God himself, you're not going to have time to be critical to anybody. You're not going to have time to hate on nobody. You're not going to have time to gossip about anybody. You're not going to have time to backstab on anybody, because you are boldly, holy, filled and flooded with God himself. And when I'm boldly, holy, filled and flooded with God myself, watch this, my flesh might want to do it, but in this Holy Spirit said, you better not. And now his voice becomes the loudest voice in my life. Does that make sense? All right. And so watch this. So notice how it talks about all this love. And then it goes to Ephesians 3 and 20, which we know. You got it. It says, but I want to show you something. Now to him who, and by consequences of the action of his power, is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Now that is one of our faith scriptures. But watch, what did they talk about all the verses before that one verse? Love. Because the writer says in Galatians, it's faith that works by love. All right, so that's number one, love gives. Okay, I got 2 minutes left. All right, everybody say point number two, love forgives. Everybody say if he had time. Yes, indeed. If the young man had time this morning, he would take you to Matthew 5, 43 and 44 and teach you that you have heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you that you love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. And I'm sure by then you would start frowning up and be asking questions like, how do you love someone that hates yours, is your enemy? And the answer is easy. It's called forgiveness. If I had time, I would show you this story in the Bible that how hate leads to murder, but forgiveness leads to love, and I would show it all to you in one story. If I had time, I would explain Jacob and Esau and how Jacob stole the birthright and the blessing. And I would take you to Genesis 27, 41, where the Bible says, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing, with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, watch this, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. So we see how hate leads to murder. But watch how forgiveness leads to love. Genesis 33, Jacob had to come back home. How do you come back home when you stole your brother's birthright? Took in what was rightfully his and never said you were sorry. Genesis 33, the first part of 1 says, now Jacob lifted up his eyes. He's coming home. He's coming over the hill. He sees the big house. It says, now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there was Esau coming, and with him were 400 men. If I was Jacob, I'd have turned around and ran as fast as I can. Because, I mean, think about it. Jacob was in the wrong. But drop down to verse 4, it says, but Esau ran to him. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Let's close it out, Courtney. How does Esau go from hating him and wanting to kill him to running to him and kissing him on his neck? Because he forgave him. So here's the next question, Pastor. How do you forgive? It's real easy. Let me teach you how to forgive, because most people don't understand. How are you able to forgive? It's a one-word answer, and it's grace. Because grace forgave me. And so the same grace that forgave me ought to be able to forgive somebody else. See, forgiveness is just giving grace. Everybody say that. Say forgiveness is giving grace. So does anybody know how to give grace? How do you give grace? Well, you must first be able to receive grace. The Bible says freely you have received, therefore you ought to freely give. So forgiveness means to release. So when God forgave you, how many know he released you? He released you from judgment. He released you from the penalty of sin. So when we forgive others, we release them from judgment and the penalty of however they sinned against us. And so in closing, what is our responsibility as it relates to the gift that God gave us in his son Jesus? Number one, you have to receive this gift. And number two, you have to share it with others. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over.